Blog Talk Radio.
Hey out there. It is Unique and Mecca doing what we do every single Thursday. This is the last Thursday of the year for the VIP.
Wow.
We are about to embark upon a new year.
2018.
That's right. 2018. Crazy thing is, we had such an overwhelming 2017, and I know we talked about it last week, but we had such a blessed year that I just couldn't help but to still keep thinking about it this week, and I'm just like, man, do I overwhelm the people and tell them again? Because it's just like, we can even both together mention all the things that God blessed us with in 2017 in just one show. So I'm just giving a shout out to God to say, look, man, if you did that stuff in 2017, I can only imagine what he's going to do in 2018 and moving forward. So I just want to say shout out to the J, to the E, to the S-U-S, honey, because, ooh.
Amen, unique
year. Yep. So definitely want to, I'd be remiss to not say that. I see we already have Richard Dorfman in the building, so I'm excited.
Oh, he was not on the
you know,
time.
For real, and that's, you know, that's something else for him now, I'll tell you that much. But I'm super excited to have Richard Dorfman on the show. Ain't no use of me lying. Everybody already knows my little brother. You know, and we're always, you know, Unique and I don't get a chance to have family on too much. But, you know, when we do, it's always a blessing because, of course, we have to support our own. And, I mean, not to toot our own horns, but we got some talented family. It's not just us,
right.
Y'all, you know. We got some talented family, if I do say so myself. And we're both very harsh critics, so if we say it, you know. If you are a family member and you trying to be on a VIP and you're thinking like, we're going to be like, mm-mm. Nah, you know, we know you family and all, but you need to pick another job, you know. you know, we don't just do it just because it's our family or whatever the case may be. We really have some awesome talent in our family, you know, and the kind of
thing
where...
And we
got to
pick them up and support them, man.
Absolutely. And you know what I love about our family too, just like what we do here, you know, on Blog Talk and, you know, even with our new show, The Trend, we don't, you know, we without the help of God, we kind of doing this stuff on our own. You know what I mean? And same thing with Karma, which, you know, of course, everybody knows, you know, that's our family as well. Unique son, my nephew, godson. little brother, you know what I mean? And their whole crew, you know, outside of that, outside of God, we really are doing it on our own. No humongous backing. And, you know, I segue into that to say that I have had the extreme pleasure of plenty of years of working directly with from the beginning when he started doing this on his own. So what people don't understand is that, you know, yeah, he got his music on iTunes now, you know, but this is nothing new. You know, I like to say, I was going to say Jalen will be 10, pretty much Jalen's whole life, but before Jalen was even born, you know, we were rocking out together. And, you know, I managed him business and personally managed him, you know, at the time. And, you know, it really wasn't easy because we really didn't know what the heck we was doing, you know. And you do bump into a lot of trial and error. So being that this is the last show of the year, what I want to say to anybody who is out there listening is just take that first step forward. regardless of which, if you have all the answers or not, if you know that God has gifted you in a certain area, take that first step forward and don't worry about not knowing. Network, get to know people who are doing the same thing that you're doing. And, you know, that's kind of how we make it on a day-to-day. But since we've been getting so excited for the past 2 years that we ain't even do an intro.
Oh, my goodness.
We've been going
what
hard.
Intro?
No. Right. What is that?
Right into it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, since I know y'all missed it, we're going to do... I ain't supposed to be saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I ain't said it in so long, I forget what I used to say. Oh, my
I'm gonna
goodness.
I'm going to need you to get
okay,
yourself together.
About this time, and I want you to segue into one of Rich's songs. So, Rich, just hold on for just a second, okay? We got to let the people know, you know, they got to see what you got going on.
We got to let them know. What? Speaking of Rich, you know, that's one of his old joints. People was loving Let Them Know. But, all right, so we're going to get on off this pink carpet real quick because, you know, we always have our preliminary on the pink carpet. And we're going to do, like Unique said, what we always do around this time every single week.
And then we ain't been in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've been excited. Overzealous. It's our show. We do what we want to do.
Thank you for joining the VIP with Unique and Mecca, two urban, compassionate, and sassy hosts who believe that everyone is a VIP through trial and triumph. Before we get started, we like to share the house rules. Please respect the views and opinions of others, even if you don't agree. Please avoid tea spilling on the pink carpet as we want to keep our VIP area litter free of judgment toward one another. And finally, please have fun and be inspired. Let's get it started.
Yeah.
Rich Flair. Rich Flair. Rich
Flair. Mighty man.
Why they mad?
Yeah, yeah. Why they mad? Cause you striving for success. Hey yo, why they don't want to see you blessed? Listen, I don't see the point in all I hate for. It's all good, I'm determined to be grateful. Cause you're the ones hating me, the same ones. Can't bang with everybody but your day ones. The ones that was there from the beginning. The ones that really want to see you winning. I don't know, man, who they think they fooling. They ain't got no type of blueprint, but try to knock what you doing. I don't even react, man, I'm just gonna sit back and let go. Just deal with it and I'ma leave it at that. Facts, and that's simply just how I'm living. I'm trying to follow the vision to precision, cause it was written. Listen, certain things I choose not to entertain. I'm just gonna stay in my lane. Wait while passing by, cause I'm good.
It don't even matter what they try to pull. Yeah, gotta be true to you. I'm on the vibes only.
Yeah, yeah.
Vibes only. I'm on the vibes only. Yeah.
The vibes only.
To ever come down, so determined I always carry my crown. I'm on the vibes only.
The vibes only.
I'm on the vibes only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody got an opinion and that's to be expected. But every opinion, yo, it's not to be accepted. No, they be wanting me to compromise the message. They say if you gon' sell, then you gotta talk
reckless.
It's that what people do for notoriety. I'm in this world surreal, that just don't apply to me. Nope, I'ma let this gift make room for me. It's throwing shade, but ain't nothing that they can do to me. Listen, I don't mind being criticized, cause I realize you're my spot. You're solidified in God. I just gotta abide in my calling. And since this is my calling, then I'm going all in. Put on for my Lord, who is sovereign. Got me stunting on him, looking like Pretty Ricky. That's what they call him. They call him. See, ain't nothing that I can't do. See, ain't God, I won't lose. Y'all can say what y'all want, man. I'm good.
I'm on the vibes only. I'm on the vibes only.
The vibes only.
To you, ever come down. So determined, I always carry my crown. I'm on the vibes only.
The vibes only.
I'm on the vibes only.
eyes on it, yeah. It don't even matter what they try to do, cause you gotta be true, yo. I'm on the vibes only, the vibes only. I'm on the vibes only, the vibes only. Too well ever come down, so I'm on the carry my crown. I'm on the vibes only, the vibes only. I'm on the vibes only.
Wow, wow, wow. And
yes.
Wow. That is the new single, y'all. Y'all need to go on iTunes and cop that. Richard Dolphin is in the building on the VIP. Welcome, welcome,
welcome
little bro.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on, y'all?
We're excited to have you.
Yo,
yes.
Man, it's a beautiful thing to be on the pink carpet, man. Listen, man, I feel good on this pink carpet, man.
That's right, because, you know, we'll be playing around with the people on the pink carpet.
Yeah, man, I got a pink undershirt just for this occasion, man.
See? He ready. That's what I be talking about right there.
I just want to say. Afterwards. We got to see. You gotta have
He should have been on Instagram
now,
like he is any other time when he be playing around. So that's what he should be. That's what he should be doing, you know.
No, look,
but
nonetheless, we just glad that he here and he on time, sis.
Listen, I'm literally on a show. You heard that I'm a changed man. It's about to be 2018. You gotta do things a little different. You gotta be on point. You know what I'm saying? We ain't waiting for the new year to get right. We get right early. You know what I'm saying? Why not start on the pink carpet?
Right.
Why not? You know what I mean? I'm VIP.
Why
you know
not
what
start
on
the pink carpet?
Right, you know what I mean?
That's right. I just had to say,
look,
you know,
Rich,
I was thinking about.
Hold on 1 second, sis.
Don't ask no questions. That's why I had a comment. That's all.
I was waiting for you to send me that MP3, but I was able to make it happen at work.
Oh,
sneaking,
I'm
trying to download the track.
Please forgot.
That's
I'm
hilarious.
Sorry. I got a lot going on.
That's straight hilarity right there. You know something, Rich? I have to say, now, you know how I am about hip-hop. You know I'm like hip-hop. Like, I love it in its purest essence of. And there was a lot of feel-good music at the time that I really fell in love with hip-hop. And this morning, since I knew I was doing this big, big, big interview with the Michael Jackson of hip-hop, I knew I was doing this interview today, and I was like, wow. I kept hearing the track in my head, and I said, man, that is such feel-good music. And I began to think about one of my favorite feel-good music artists, which was Heavy D. You know, Heavy D, Heavy D. It's not that you had anything like a Heavy D float, none of that, but I'm saying that this particular song and a few others that I know, you know, like, not that I don't know them all, but of yours,
right?
That's what it put me in the mind frame of. And I begin to think about, you know, when I posted it, how, you know, we need to kind of sort of go back to that. You know, the consciousness, the feel-good vibe, the togetherness, all of those things. So since I said all that, now I do have a question. Not that I wasn't going to have one anyway, but this comes from that.
I know, talk to me.
So, hip-hop, not quite, I would say, a lost art form, but the essence of what hip-hop really is, I think, in a lot of ways have been devalued and are kind of scarce. What do you think brought that about?
I think what brought that about, I think that's a great question for starters. You know, it's a loaded question, so there is not, I think, one general answer, but I think there's multiple factors to that. But I believe one of the things that, just like in anything, and this is not just in anything. It started off at a certain way in its purest form as a form of expression brought forth by, you know, urban communities where youth were just expressing themselves as a ways of recreation and having a good time from the madness from that they were living in the urban cities. But just like when many things, when corporate America gets into it and then it starts making money, so now what starts off pure is now abused and used as a tool in order to make money off of. So if you have one person, one artist is doing one thing and they're successful doing this, and now, you know, we have to go ahead and get another and go ahead another. So you have a lot of, I think, a lot of misuses of hip hop, and I think it's due to, like, you know, corporate hands, you know, just manipulating the culture and abusing the art form in order for financial gain. I mean, like, for instance, like, you know, I'm going to use this example with NWA. NWA just came out and they said, like, yo, this is how we're going to express ourselves against what's going on in L.A. And then once they went platinum, so now we have to, the corporate powers that be, now they have to go ahead and find another person like that to go ahead and combat. So you have a whole bunch of wannabes that's trying to do this and trying to do that in order to fit in. So nobody is being original, but anything, what they're doing is buying into whatever the powers that be are producing, you know? So it's kind of like lost its originality. It's lost its purity, you know? And I think that's why we have hip hop where it is today, you know? And those artists that are producing original music, that are creative, and that are all about bringing hip hop in its purest form, they're not being heard because that's not basically where the money's in, you know. And people are only going to put money into something that they can make money off of, you know. So it's like this is what it is, you know. So it's definitely room for growth, and there's room for those trailblazers to set trends and not follow what's the status quo per se, you know. That's just my thing, man.
Good answer, Rich.
That was a good one.
Clarity.
You come at corporate America.
Yeah, the prophet B.
Wow.
And let me make it more plain. Instead of corporate America, I'm talking about, like, you know, these record labels and these record execs. These are the ones. These are the people who are shaping hip hop. We look at the artists, but they are only heard because they're being backed and supported by these labels and by these executives, you know, who have their own agenda of what they want hip hop to sound like, you know, because all their main concern is just the dollar bill, y'all. You know what I mean?
So pretty much just took the culture and just raped it, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Like it was done with rock and roll, Little Richard, you know, Chuck Berry, you know, like. What's been happening, you know? Let's go ahead. Like, rock and roll was birthed on the back of brothers and, you know, brothers doing their thing. When what they did, they messed around and just go ahead and just take those same elements and then put their stamp on it and go on. Yeah, exactly. You know,
right. The next thing you know, you got people not stepping on your blue suede shoes when those wasn't originally your blue suede shoes. Them shoes belong to somebody else.
Yeah, for every new edition, they gonna find a new kids on the block. You know what I mean?
Look up. Yep. Wow. So now, since you said that, you know I'm gonna have to ask you how you feel about Eminem.
To be honest, even though I know Eminem gets a lot of flack, one thing I don't see that with Eminem. I think Eminem is an artist that I think came out with his own style. Ain't nobody sound like Eminem. Nobody was talking
That's
about what he was talking about. Nobody, like, Eminem. But, like, he talking, he talked about his mama. He talking about killing his mama, his baby mama. ain't nobody talking about what he talking. And I think in what happened to him, he spoke the language and he spoke to a group of people that was not being recognized, you know. And I think, like, you know, the white kid in Montana, you know, who's living in the trailer park, saw somebody and saw himself and they identified it. Because, you know, that's, you know, he was speaking their language. Even though, like, you know, we, for me, me personally, I was listening to him and I was just, I just couldn't believe what he was saying. But he was speaking from a place where he was communicating his reality, you know. So with Eminem, I think that's a different story. And besides what he was saying, he was just a phenomenal lyricist as an artist. Like, he the way he put words
mm-hmm.
together. And he's definitely one of the
mm-hmm.
artists that influenced me greatly. You know, I saw words differently when I heard Eminem.
Mm.
Wow.
I saw words differently when I heard Eminem.
Yeah, my usage of words was completely changed. Like when I heard the Eminem show, I was like, "Who's rapping like this?" I was like, I would listen to the albums just to see how he was rapping and utilizing his words in order to get his point across. And I thought it was just like amazing. That shaped a lot of kind of like, you know, like kind of like made me want to challenge my pen and challenge my writing as a lyricist to like really push my bar and see how far I could go, even though I can't do what Eminem do, but I can take those elements and make it Richard Dawson.
That's right.
Mm.
Wow. Love it.
Well, I was going to ask you, you said M was one of your influences. I was going to ask you who are some of your influences. I know it's more than just
my,
M.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think one of my major influences is Tupac. You know, Tupac for his ability to just – Tupac and Nas. And the reason why is because both of them were able to, like – even though I was into gangster rap, I love Snoop, I love Dre, you know, when that whole era. But I was really, you know, really fond of or really gravitated to artists that use their music to send off a message. Like when I heard Dear Mama and Keep Your Head Up, like those songs, like amazing. It's like, wow, he's saying something positive. And how that made me feel mm-hmm. is like maybe appreciate that even more. And Nas, the things that he was talking about, like, you know, I listened to Nas like he was preaching to me. Like the way he talked about,
Lord
like,
knows,
like,
yeah.
Nas was my first time in fact. Like, you know what I mean? If the truth be told, like, I would listen to Nas and be like, I would want to sit down and talk to him about certain his songs. I remember, like, listening to certain songs and be like, man, if I could only ask Nas, what did he mean when he said this? You know, so he was a major mm-hmm. influence, you know, on myself as an artist, you know. So those two I think were major, even though I was also – those were my biggest influences, but artists that I liked, I was also into Biggie. I was also coming from Brooklyn, so, you know, Biggie was, you know, was the homie. And Wu-Tang was like my superheroes. Wu-Tang was like,
Wow, yeah, definitely. Whew, that was a lot. And you know something? You made me think about, you know, this is kind of an unfair interview, but nonetheless, when you started talking about, you know, stories, like, you know, how they could tell a story. And I happen to think, now this is going way back, if you could tell the people, because I don't want to tell a story, you know, it's your story. But what is one of your favorite, or maybe even the favorite, of your favorite rap songs? It was an early song, Rich, don't mess this up. But just to show,
you're telling me
to
don't
show
mess
people up. How far people go back in their craft and how far. Now, he mentioned some 90s artists, but these artists looked up to them. And that was your favorite. And every time I hear that song, I always think about you because you always say you like this song for the message in it.
Grandmaster Fashion and Furious 5, The Message?
The Message, yeah. I asked you that because, you know, I asked you that for a reason, right? Because there may be some people out here who want to do what it is that you're doing. And like I said, you've been doing this for over a decade. But people have to understand that you just don't wake up and do this kind of stuff. You do have to kind of, you have to study your craft. And there's a lot of people out there that's probably young and don't even know what that song is, or, you know, what that song meant, even I feel like, to hip hop when you think about it, because they were telling stories back in the day. But that mm-hmm. right there really, that was like the epitome of this is where we live. This is what it's like here. Somebody sent you a heart. I don't even know who it was. I was blinking my eyes talking because I'm on Facebook Live. But that was like the epitome, like the broken glass everywhere. People pissing on the corner say, this don't care. Like, that was crazy. And we really saw that kind of stuff. So now I have to ask, right, and you might say a similar answer to what you said before I was live, so I'm going to ask you this anyway because I want the people to kind of hear your take on it. So that was, you know, a lot of reality for people in the inner city. I feel like maybe a little over a decade or so after, maybe like 15 years after or so, 10, 15 years, those stories begin to become stretched. And there was a point in hip-hop where people just told stories and made them bigger than what they are, what they were, about the way that we actually lived in these communities. Why do you think that happened?
What do you mean by make stories bigger than the work? And you just need clarity of this?
Oh, we had a whole bunch of fake gangsters and a whole bunch of fake,
okay.
You know,
at
a point.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. It went from, like, again, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, that message. Melly Mel, who's also one of the rappers that I admired, you know, like, because when I went back and studied the Game Team to see what he was talking about at the time he was talking about, he was ahead of his time. You know, but now where that raw authenticity, when you're speaking about the context in which you live on an everyday basis and you're basically reporting things that's going on and things that you've experienced, like, that's hip hop at its purest form. But what we're getting now is just people utilizing the art and the technique of rap to go ahead and create these elaborate stories and create this fantasy and go ahead and, like, kind of like a director creating a movie, you know, and just making the most outlandish things in order to garner shock value, you know, and people start portraying an image and portraying a role, you know, because they feel like that's what's in, so that's what I have to do. So, hey, if he's shooting people with Uzis, I got to shoot them with a missile. And if they over here got this, well, I have to have that, you know, and, you know, everything is just like, again, where's the authenticity, you know? But no one's looking for the authentic. When I mean by they, the powers that be, these record execs, what they're looking for is their next money pick. They're looking for, okay, what's the next thing out there? Oh, you have this kid over here who's super gangster, and he's white. Oh, and he's like a suburb commando. Oh, yes. He has guns everywhere. Let's go ahead and use him and see if we could garner some views, and then we could put some money behind him and it's going to sell. You know, so that's how it is. It's not even looking for the art form. It's more into how many views does he have. Okay, if he could get that amount of views on his own, then we could put money behind him because that's where we're going to get a return on our investment. So you got people that don't even listen to the music, nor do they care about the music, but they're just looking for the formula in order to make money. You know, and I think that is, and it's, and that's my take on how the music has lost its way and lost its purity to the point where hip hop was more than just music. You know what I mean? When you said hip hop, you
was a lifestyle.
You were talking about a lifestyle. You talking about a way of expression.
Right.
You know, now when you talk about hip hop, you're talking about it's been limited to just a genre of music when hip hop was more than that. You know, and I think
it
that anybody that was brought up. Yeah, and when you brought it, it was a lifestyle. You know, it was deeper. It was deeper than just beats and rhymes. You know, beats and rhymes were a byproduct of the way a group of people were living. You know, so that's my take.
Wow. So as a youth developer, right? Because you are a youth developer.
Oh.
So many things. We'll get into that. Mm-hmm. As a youth developer, you have the opportunity to influence a lot of young people, hundreds at a time, as a youth developer. And then also even, you know, as a youth pastor, you get a chance to do that. So what do you say to these young people who don't get it? They just think that, oh, okay, it is what it is. If they say that they packing all these guns and they doing all of this stuff, that's the way to go. Like, what is your message to those young people? And then what's your message to their parents who don't understand?
I think that for one, when it comes down to young people and working with kids, like all the time, we got a studio at our site, and kids all oftentimes record. And as soon as they come out their mouth talking about, like, yo, I was pushing this car, I was like, no, you don't, bro. You barely have a metro card. You're not pushing nothing. You don't ride a bike.
You're pushing a school bus.
You don't happen to have money for a cab. So what are you doing? You know, like, to really get them to understand, like, nah, you can't just come up in here and just say whatever for the sake of it being a rap. That's not rap. You know, that's you being fake. And in this keep it real generation where everybody wants to be real, you getting behind a mic and putting on a costume and putting on a life that you not built for, nor do you live. Like, stop it with all that. You know, I stop them right dead in their tracks. You know, even though I understand that they're fascinated with the music and I'm able, but that's my way of challenging them to actually listen, rap about who you are, be real with yourself. Sell you. Don't sell what somebody else is doing, you know, because that's not you, you know. And when it comes down to the parents, you know, sometimes, you know, quote Will Smith, and we used to talk a lot about old school hip, sometimes parents just don't understand, you know, but it's important parents just don't understand, but I think it's important for parents to actually lend an ear to pay attention to their kids, even though they might not understand it, but they need to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of parents, I see your godmother is in the studio.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Tell
her not to
start.
Tell her not to start.
You better not step out the way, because she's going to get you.
That is too funny.
So, Rich,
okay.
I wanted to ask you, are the kids an inspiration for any of your lyrics?
Absolutely. I think kids have been a major inspiration because even though kids...
You're around them all the time.
I think, yeah, Thorin, you're around them all the time. But then also, too, they help me as an artist because I hear what they're listening to. I hear what has their ear, you know. And as an artist, even though I might not like something, I need to have something as an artist that they can actually digest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have, especially as an artist, where my message might be over their head and I'm coming from a perspective that might be over their head. And sonically, I might like a certain taste. I have my own particular flavor of music. But if they're not into that, the challenge for me as an artist is how am I to communicate my message where they can digest it? You know, like, how can I make this plate, prepare this plate, this meal, even though they probably don't like the healthy stuff. But how can I make this healthy meal attractive enough to them that they will eat it and not even realize that it's nothing but fruits and vegetables in there? You know, so that's my challenge as an artist. And so being with them, they have definitely opened up my ear, you know, so to certain artists that even though people don't like, you know, the mumble rap and they say all this, they're not really rapping, but I understand why they like certain things. So I usually kind of like, as an artist and as a creative, and a person that's evolving themselves as an artist, I like to kind of take on certain things and make it my own, and so that they can actually be able to gravitate to it, you know. So they're a major inspiration. You know, they are, when I see what they go through, when I see what they deal with on a regular basis, that's fuel for my pen to start writing. You know, I want to be able to write to them and speak to them. You know, they might not hear me speaking to them like, listen, you need to stop doing X, Y, and Z. Nah, they might not hear me like that. But if I put a beat with a rhyme, if I get on one of these trap beats, you know, and I start rocking and start speaking to them on that beat, then they'll definitely be able to be like, oh, he saw. After they start bobbing their head and they start dancing, they're going to sit there and listen to, like, oh, he's talking about what I deal with, you know. So
That's awesome because, you know, there definitely needs to be a balance. It's like, you know, when your mother decides, okay, you can have ice cream today, you know, but you gonna eat these vegetables type of deal. And there's so much ice cream and so much junk food in the industry that they need, you know, they need that healthy balance. So that's what's up. I want to get into revolution music, and then we definitely got to talk a little bit about that. So I don't know. You want to introduce yourself?
Listen, when we're talking about the kids, and I'm passionate about my community, passionate about developing this next generation of leaders and pioneers and vanguards. And this song was really birthed from my experiences with working in the inner cities. And this song, Revolution Music, is a challenge. It's a cry. It's a declaration to not just stand on the sidelines and watch everything that's going on and complain about everything that's going on. Nah, we all have a voice, and we all are challenged to get up and do something. So if you're not part of the ain't no point in complaining about the problem if you're not going to stand up and be the solution. You know, so that's the heart, and that's the aim and the challenge of Revolution Music, man. So there you have it. Video's out on YouTube. Definitely go ahead and check it out. And it's on iTunes, Spotify, all major and digital outlets. So definitely check it out, man. Richard Dolphin, Revolution Music.
Yeah, bottles, you understand, because I get a cut when he bottles things. I need some shoes. Okay. That's been like the ongoing joke. His money is for my shoes.
Definitely.
Revolution music, y'all.
My grandfathers, my fathers, my brothers, I lift up my voice and raise it high, telling the stories of your children's cry. For our ability to survive the onslaught of the enemy's drugs, guns, and alcohol, his prisons and his killing fields, depends directly on whether you are willing to resist the outrages that are being heaped upon us as a people and build a new society.
I know the media probably want us to quiet down, like we could just simply forget Eric Garner and Mike Brown right now. Think about Trayvon, it's funny cause I ain't never felt the same with my hoodie on, that's why I'm getting my bully on. If you thinking that this is just a song, or well you're wrong, I'm sounding off for the record so people could get the message. I'm Babe Ruth with the truth, swinging straight for the fences. I'm out here in the trenches, saving those defenseless. See people talk about change but do nothing to make a difference.
Yes, the task is difficult.
I'm hearing these mothers cry, sons and daughters, victims of homicide, and everybody quiet. I'm so tired of the murder.
But you must organize to find a way, or make your own way.
I grew up inspired by the lights of civil rights leaders who sacrificed their lives in order to lead us. They march, sing, and go, tell it on a mountain so their great-grandchildren could drink from freedom's fountain. I wonder where would we all be now? Rosa Parks never took that stand by sitting down. When I think about it now, would Ali still be considered the greatest if he fought in Vietnam? I overstand my platform. The hood ain't trying to hear no sermon on Sunday, so through the songs I adapt to them. That's why I rap to them, to speak the facts to them. We ain't done, keep it going. It's all about money, cars, clothes, and they killing it. But they ignorant to the fact that they straight up just really lynching it. I'm down to go for broke to give my people hope. So when they hear me, what they're hearing is Malcolm X with the Holy Ghost. I'm a byproduct of Mandela, M.R. Edwards songs that pierce the hearts of men to repent. I got my fist in the air for the revolution. Cross on my shoulder, homie, that's how we do it. If you ain't about the people, then tell me what you're doing. This is kingdom music. No confusion. Revolution music. See, we gotta get it together to make sense of it all. Our ultimate downfall, yo, we fighting the wrong war. That's if we even fighting at all. So how long we just gonna sit back and watch our own destruction while people that can't do something choose to do nothing? I'm saying,
you must change today so that tomorrow may dare to be different.
It's we're more concerned about our bills than these kids getting killed, and we so quick to complain instead of working towards change. Who gon' teach our boys how to be men? Yo, who gon' teach our young girls to be women and not just twerking and stripping? I mean, where are the fathers? Where are the teachers? Where are the mentors and where are the leaders? It's revolution music. One person can't reach everybody, but anybody can reach somebody if we can. It's revolution.
world shakers, the difference makers. That's the call, commission, and proclamation. This ain't a song, see, this is a declaration. It's only right that I turn the stage into my pulpit and try to convey some truth, cause all I see is confusion. It's either people sleeping or they just being foolish. You got all of these followers, but what do you influence? See, this is more than music, it's time to wreck the movement. You can't complain, stand for nothing and full of excuses. I got my fists in the air for the revolution. Cross on my shoulder, homie, that's how you do it. If you ain't about the people, then tell me what you're doing. This is kingdom music. No confusion. No excuse. Revolution music.
Go back to your family. Go raise and teach your children. Go back and organize throughout this nation to bring about a better day for our people. Thank you.
Wow. Powerful message, Rich.
Hey, yo, man, that's my heart. That's one of my favorite songs. That's my favorite song right there. That's my baby. That's my firstborn.
I love the video. Of course, the video is all over Harlem. So, of course, you know, that's home. So, of course, I'm going to love that. I feel like I was, wasn't I at the video shoot? I just wanted
nah,
I be always on the low key. Yeah, I was
in
the
that one.
But
oh yeah, you were there, present.
But nonetheless,
you were present. Yeah.
But I'm never in them. But you know, it's okay. He don't invite me, y'all. You know. Nonetheless, it's all right. I just get a chance to hear the stuff before everybody else, which is a blessing. Question, right? So, like I mentioned, I don't know if people heard. You are so many things, right? Recently into public speaking, rapper, youth developer, pastor. What do you say to people who say that it's a contradiction to do what you do as a rapper and also be a preacher?
Well, I know. Well, I tell people being a preacher, one thing that I tell them directly is the fact that this is what God called me to do. You know, this is directly, this is not something that I said, you know what, maybe if I rap the Bible, you know what, maybe I'll get more followers or maybe no.
Uh-oh, Rich.
Hello?
I don't know what happened.
Uh-oh.
What happened? You hear me?
You said, yeah. I
Hello?
Hear you now, but you, the last thing that I heard was, maybe I'll get more followers if I, you know, you were saying that's what God called you to do.
Yeah, yeah, this is what God called me to do. This is not a ploy to get followers or a publicity stunt. No, this is something that I'm passionate about Him, you know. So what I do, I feel like, especially me, I can't speak for anybody else, but you can take any one of my songs and read them, and those are sermons. Every song that I write is a sermon. Go and print out the lyrics. It's a sermon. It's just a sermon on beat. I can't speak for anyone else, but I'm talking about me in particular. I could go ahead and preach them because I know the reason why I'm able to do that is because I know God called me to do it. A lot of the things that I write, I don't even remember after I write them. I listen back to them like, dang, I'm listening to it like somebody else said it. You know, the way
you're
the
like,
words.
That's a bad man. That boy good.
I'm like, sometimes I grab my chest and I'll be like, did he say all that? Did he say that? Like, you know, like it's not
right,
me because I know
that
it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not me. You know, so this is a calling. You know, this is a calling. And even myself when I perform, like, I can't tell you how many times when people will come up to me and then I know the sound is bad. I know the, you know, and I'm rapping pretty fast. I don't have a slow delivery. My songs are very, I speak at a very rapid pace, but it will be somebody, you know, I don't care how old or how age, somebody that looks completely disconnected to the hip-hop culture. I'll never forget the one time there was like a 70-year-old white guy in one of my shows came up to me. He didn't even look like he belonged in the concert. And he came up to me and started quoting. He said, I don't like rap at all, but I like you because I was able to hear everything that you said. You know, he started quoting and reciting different lines. I'm like, what? My pastor has come up to me. I like that song. I like when you said X, Y, and Z. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you know, it sound like him when you said that.
It blows me away, like, you know, too, when I get those responses that people that are that people are able to hear my words, you know, which is my cry. Like, I always want to mm-hmm. be heard and understood, especially, you know, with the lyrics. You know, I don't want people to just mm-hmm. simply bob to the music or be so caught up on my stage performance that they lose sight on what it is that I'm saying. So that's my response. This is a call from God, and the proof is in the pudding. You know, read the lyrics for yourself, and you tell me where is that not in alignment. But I think people oftentimes are in a box, and oftentimes, oh, no, it's like as if God can only communicate at this particular time on a Sunday morning. Like, we put limits on what we think God can do. I'm like, it's God. God could do anything. Why are we putting limits on God? Like, we know what God is going to do.
If he could talk to an animal, why can't he talk to a rapper?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, you know, but I think the people that definitely mm-hmm. lost, you know, people, the perceptions are distorted, you know. And I think if anybody has a real relationship with the Father, you know, this is just my take. If you have a real relationship with the Father, you know that there's no way that you can try to box him or limit him. And then at the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding. It's all in the fruit. You know, it's all in the fruit.
Right.
You know, it's all in the fruit. If you see fruit from me, if you see people coming forth and now wanting to draw closer to who God is because of the music, who are you to say, no, this is not of God? Who are you? Who are we to say, no, God is not in this? You know, I don't care how many people come to the altar and are curious about confessing who Jesus Christ is. Oh, no. Who are you to say that? You know?
Right.
I'm going to leave that right
there. Especially when you think about the fact, I mean, you know, just working with you for so many years, I'm just getting so many thoughts in my head as you are saying that. And I think about, no, it wasn't Kingdom Choice Awards, the Holy Hip Hop Awards. This probably was like in 2000 and... oh my gosh, 6 or 7 or something like that.
Yes.
And I remember, right? And I have to say this, and I'm really big on this, and Rich, you always tease me about this all the time because, you know, as much as I love hip hop, I'm particularly very, very funny with, you know, with holy hip-hop or gospel rap or however people want to call it, because I know that there definitely has to be a calling behind it. Otherwise, it's really of none effect. And we've been plenty of places where I just be sitting back looking at people like, this ain't what you're supposed to be doing. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. But this one particular time, because ain't nobody moved by this. But I remember this one particular time we were in Atlanta for the awards, and I remember standing back watching you, you know, do your delivery. It was you, and what's that boy's young boy? I think it was Little A Rock, was his name, I believe. He got to be grown now. He's probably Big A Rock. But nonetheless, I remember somebody. It was a few people went before you two. You two were last. I'll never forget it. And nobody was moved by anybody who came before you and him. And it was so hectic for you at the end. I remember you did Jesus Christ, I Believe, which was one of my joints. The sample, I loved it, everything. But I remember watching, put that mic down, how everybody just gravitated to you. I remember that. I remember that so clearly. And every time I think about how important it is, especially when you know that you have a calling from God to rap, I always think about that particular time. It wasn't so much that they was gravitating towards you, but the things that you ministered, everybody wanted to talk to you after it was over, you know. And you just talk so daggone much to everybody, you don't even think about resting. I'd be having to get you out of there, but, you know.
Nah, got that.
That's
adrenaline
what it should
pumping.
Be like, I feel like.
Right.
You know. That's what it should be. So I just thank God for you being so obedient and allowing him to use you because, you know, you didn't always, this wasn't always, you know, your thing. You always had the gift. But once you, you know, gave your life to the Lord, you just gave your music to the Lord too, and I remember all of that. So I definitely have to commend you. I know I don't get a chance to really do it very often, but I commend you for that, and just keep on doing whatever it is that you know that God has put it on your heart. So I had to get mushy for a second.
I appreciate that, especially coming, and you know that means something, especially when coming at somebody that was there from day one. Literally, you know, you were there at the Genesis before I even got started in, as far as like doing this, doing what I'm doing for the Lord, you know, and you definitely was a major influence in even me coming into the Lord, you know, so to hear that coming from you is definitely humbling, you know, and it just reminds me of how far, you know, I've come, you know, because oftentimes you've been in your journey for so long, you don't even realize where you came from. Or some of the things that you overcame, and the obstacles, and even the victories that you obtained, you know, throughout the time that you've been on this path, or whatever path that you've been on, man. So I definitely appreciate your words.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I remember all the Jezebels when we used to be in the hotels. I used to be like, "Excuse me, no, she's not here for this. Let's go." I remember that. You know, because, you know, when you don't turn me with everybody and everything, and I'm like, It used to be hilarious.
I thought the group were only rap world. The rap and R&B and circular world. So they, I know, I'm just messing with y'all.
It's probably even. And you know, sis, how overprotective I am of any siblings of ours. So I used to be like, let's go. And he'd be like, what? No, let's go. We gotta go now.
I
say, what
are
you
here
for?
Right. I was a good boy. Let it be known. Let everybody know I was a good boy. All right.
Yes, he was.
I was
gotta be so careful,
I was
though.
In and out.
Sure enough. Or they would be mad when they see us together because they don't think I'm his sister. They'd be like, that's his girlfriend or that's his wife or whatever. So we had some fun times on the road, you know, together with situations like that. It just used to be hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned a lot, too, as well. Yeah. Wow. This is very interesting.
Wow, this is,
and I do have to say,
really,
too, Rich, I know you're going to kill me for this, but I'm not going to play it. But one of my very favorites is my song to you because it kind of takes me back to that feel, and that's like on your first full length. Takes me back to the message, you know, the stuff that you talked about in that particular one. So can we just talk a little bit about my favorite song real quick because you know how much I love that particular song.
You know, it's crazy.
You actually did that one on BET. You were on BET with that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
BET, Bobby Jones, Urban Impact Summit. Yeah.
Yes. Urban Impact Summit.
You know,
absolutely.
It's funny when I was going back, and I think that song came on. You know, oftentimes, like with me, after I record something, I never want to listen to it again. You know, and. Well, I went back one time. I think I was just playing it. It just came on. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to hear this song. And then I was listening to the lyrics, and I was over here blown away, for one, because I don't remember none of them. And then two,
I know.
It's just like, yeah, I bet you do. You know, but even the subject matters that was, I was talking about, you know, relating to family, a mom, you know, dealing with, a relative is dying with cancer, dealing with domestic and violence, dealing with kids committing suicide. You know what I mean?
Suicide,
like I talk about my cousin at the time who was on the verge of committing suicide.
Yeah.
You know, I put that all in the record. So the level of transparency, like those, it was like when I was listening to the lyrics, I was like, I know where they came from. Like those songs were real.
Yeah, talked about
before.
Incest.
And, yeah, into everything. Like it was all in there. I'm like, how you fit all this stuff in three verses. Like,
that must have been my story.
Amazing.
That was my piece of the... Okay. You know,
it was amazing.
That, unfortunately.
That is an amazing song,
my song to you.
It was amazing. You know, and I'm not even just saying that because it was my song, but I'm just saying, like, you don't hear songs like that nowadays. Like, you don't hear that nowadays, you know, but it's needed. Because you have people that
are
definitely
struggling. So can we get a remix to my song, Lee? We can get Sheena Lee again?
I got you. I'm working on it. It might not necessarily be a remix per se, but you got something that's definitely coming in that vein, you know, because those songs are definitely needed. So definitely count on that.
Giving people hope, letting people know that they're not alone and that they can make it. I love it.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Wow. So Rich.
Wow, Rich. I definitely got to thank you for that. My goodness.
Mm.
So you say that you have something coming up that's similar
to it.
Right. So, I mean, you got a verse. You got something you could, you got like a little acapella you could.
I can give you the beat. I can give a beat, Rich.
You want me to do a beatbox, Rich?
For the record, ladies and gentlemen, I've never heard her beatbox in my life, and I don't want to hear her right now. I don't think it's safe.
That's right, because I'm supposed to sing opera on your records. You're right. Let me stay in my lane, right? Opera. Okay, opera.
Stay in the opera lane. Stay in the opera lane. Lord Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. Hilarious. Can I go back a little bit? Who made that track for the Revolution music?
Oh, that was a producer by the name of Tone Jones. And
loving it.
And another thing that's a funny thing too, and when we talk about your art and your craft, you know, and being different, like all those instruments are live instruments, as you heard. There was nothing generated through the beat machine. Although those are live drums, when you listen to it, I know oftentimes we're so caught up in the words, but if you listen to the beat, there is no format to it. It looks like a band just had one big jam session. And then I heard it, I loved it. I said, I'm going to rap to it just like that and not change a thing. So the level of difficulty, because you're trying to find where's the hook, it doesn't have a traditional hook to the song, but I think the song, like Revolution music, you're talking about Revolution is never traditional, you know, so I had to come and be very out the box in order to really convey the message, you know. So I think it was like I look at that song as like, you know, one of those records that really speak and communicate the need, you know, the need that we had. And I think it was like the perfect marriage between beats and rhymes. You know, I know that's one of those records that I know God gave me. God gave me that one. If he ain't gave me nothing else, I know he gave me that one. You know, because I think everything was just a perfect blend.
Wow.
So the kid, the young kid that's speaking on the track, who's that?
Wow, that is, the funny, even with that wasn't in the track. I put that in the track. His name is leaving me, but he was a 13-year-old boy that spoke at the first Million Man, at the Million Man March in 1995.
Wow.
So they had a clip of him doing a speech, and then I was so moved by the speech, and then when I heard the music, I was just like, how would he sound on this beat? And then when I heard it, I was like, oh, my gosh. And then I literally put it throughout the song, you know, because it's just a perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fact that he did that when he was 13, and he spoke with such power. And it was the perfect blend. Like, it was like the perfect mash. And it was just like when it came the way when I finally heard everything come together, it was just like, whoa, this is no longer your typical song. This is something epic.
Right.
This is something that is like a cry, you know. And in the video, you know, big shout out to Eshawn Burgundy. The video really takes it to a whole nother level, you know, with the clips and everything that's there. It really makes the song come to life, man.
Well, we need to find this man now because he's a grown man your age. Because that was, you know, he's your age technically. Around that particular time, y'all need to. You might need to work something out together for real, for real. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I
found him. I definitely found him on LinkedIn, and I reached out to him, but I ain't hear nothing from him. So, but because I wanted him to hear the song, you know, I just definitely wanted to hear the song and how it came about with him, you know. But you know, and you know, God
you know,
has his own way of bringing things around full circle. Yeah, you know.
Make sure you text me his name
because
we're gonna find him.
Yeah, I know. Listen, you should work for the FBI Because if you need somebody, you're going to find them. You know, you got the Secret Service anointing. Like, you know, you got the,
oh my God.
You got the Federal
the
Bureau
Secret Service
of Investigation spirit on you. That's what you got.
That is hilarious. No, it's funny, though. Remember that time? I don't remember which Holy Hip Hop it was, but I know you were supposed to do like a pre-show, but you ended up in a concert and you turned around like, how did I end up on this? I was like, oh, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, you was just sitting there like, I was supposed to do the pre-show. How come I'm in the actual show? I said, oh, don't worry about it. Just get up there. You and Jazz. Shout out to Jazz and all the forerunners. Tell some of the people who may not be familiar with some of those Holy Hip Hop artists that you looked up to, that you came up in the ranks with too. Can you just name some of those?
Yeah, I'm talking about. I came up. It's funny, you know. It's funny. I literally wrote a song and I was shouting them out. You know, as I look at them as people who raised me in this. You know, Big shout out to Corey Red. You know, Corey Red and Precise. Big shout out to Richie Righteous, who literally took me under his wing and showed me how not just to put the rhymes together, but how to not to minister the rhymes, but also minister deliverance, you know, while you're on stage. That's when I saw the ministry aspect of what we do. You know, it's not just getting up there rapping, moving the crowd and keep it moving. Nah, you get up there, you rap, move the crowd, but then also be able to speak and communicate the heart of God and allow God to use you as a vessel to minister deliverance to people, you know. And I'm speaking from experience, because I remember at my album release, somebody came up to me and said, you know what, I'm so glad I came to the concert because something you said helped restore my marriage. I'm like, what? Your marriage? I ain't got no song about
me and my single song.
I ain't got no song about us. I basically got a song about the relationships on it. You know what I mean? I don't know, but God knows, you know? So that aspect, you know, that's what I learned the most from those individuals, you know? And another one was The Truth, you know, who's probably one of the more popular ones out, and he's a legend in this, and countless others. You know, but those are the people that really inspired me.
Mm-hmm.
LaVarsia, you know, LaVarsia Cornerstone, Grow the Heck Up. That was the first Christian rapper I ever came across. I met him directly at a Christian bookstore, you know, and I'm telling you, the time that they took with me definitely helped shape who I am today, you know, and I can never thank them enough for the time that they took to invest in me. And with everything that they taught me, it puts me in a position where I'm trying to, you know, mentor and invest those times into individuals that are on the come up, you know, who are doing major things, like The Saga, who I'm here with right now, he's doing his music video, you know, who's battle rapping for the Lord, you know. So I mean, it's an amazing privilege to be where I'm at today, you know, and I thank those guys.
You made me cry at that album release party, but it's okay.
You want me to speak that verse?
Ain't nobody going to see me crying on the other side of the studio, so it don't matter. He made me cry. And every single phone.
I got it.
Okay?
Everybody
pulled out their phones like they knew that was going to happen. And you heard what my sister said. I don't cry. That's a very 365 days.
That's
you get 5 days out of me in 365. That was huge. Everybody put out their cell phones. I was like, oh God. And that was in 2007. Okay. And you have come a long way since then. Your delivery, just everything. Like, I really see God just using you. But I do, like I said, your godmother is on the line. I don't know if she wants to speak. We shall see. If she's too quiet,
pretty sure she got
then that means that she was trying to listen and she might have took a snooze. I don't know. But let's just see. We called her AKA Mama Holy Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew. Because she went everywhere with us, too. You know, a lot of places that we went, we would hop in faith. You know, that was our travel vehicle. And we will hop in Faith and pack up Jalen in his car seat and be out. So, I don't know. Do you have anything to say, Mama Holy Fire?
Just that I'm so proud of him. My Richard is doing his thing. May God continue to bless you, which I know he is. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Don't make me cry.
Don't make me cry.
I'm trying to be strong.
Oh, this boy. I don't know what we're going to do with it. But just continue to do your thing. God bless you.
I love you. I love you, Mama.
I love you too.
Mama.
I hear the love.
Mama, I love you.
All right, Ma.
I love you.
Thank you.
Right.
We love you too.
Mm-hmm. So, Rich,
I have a personal thank you, Rich. You know, because so many things, like I said, are just coming to my memory as we're talking, and I guess this is why this interview is going a little bit over, a little longer than I anticipated. I just want to, on the record, you know, we laugh a lot, we joke a lot, we serious, you know, but I really have to thank you because there were so many things that I feel like you trusted me on all the way. And there was times that you wanted to say no about a lot of stuff, but I'm talking about all the way until the last minute if I would be like, no, don't do that, do this one. You know, and a lot of times, especially with that, my song, you really didn't want to. And I would be like, nope, do this. Or, you know, and you really, really trusted me. Or the times that I would say crazy stuff like, we don't need somebody to book us, let's do our own concert. And I know you thought I was crazy for that type of stuff. And I just want to say thank you for that. Because you know how I think so out the box. And, you can't always expect when you have that out-the-box type of mind frame for people to just follow suit. But you did. You never gave me that, you know, well, I'm the artist and this is what I want to do type of thing. So I definitely want to thank you because those were leaps of faith that if you had said no, I would have been fighting with you in order for us to do it, and you just went along with it, and things just went so well. So it was a learning lesson for me. It helped put me out there because as much as I'm on the other side of the VIP and people can't see me, that's a comfort zone for me. But, you know, those type of things forced me to go out and be on a microphone and talk when I really didn't want to do that because ordinarily I'm a shy person, you know. So I began to look back when I knew that this interview was coming, and you never know how God is going to use you, but he knew that he was going to use me for such a time as this, to where from all of that became, okay, now Mecca's a public speaker, you know, so this is what she does, even though I hate getting on stage, but nobody ever can tell that that's how I feel, like I want to be in a box where people can't see me, but doing all of those things with you and having to sometimes come out before you and I introduce you or I'm speaking for you or I'm talking to all these different people for you, it really helped shape what I'm becoming right now. So I definitely have to thank you for that.
You know, listen, one thing that I have to say, and I even want to say this to the listeners out there, you know, the reason why I was able, it was easy for me to trust you is because, one, I trusted, even if I didn't understand or didn't like what you said, I trusted the God in you, you know? I trusted the God in you, and I know God placed you in my life for a reason to mentor, nurture, and cultivate the seed that God used you to plant, you know? And I want to say that it's also important. You know, for those of you that didn't know, I know you probably didn't want me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyhow so people can understand the context of our relationship. Yeah, go ahead. You want me to put all the stuff on me. Anyway, I ain't going to play no mind now. I bet. Mecca is the person. Yes, listen, now you be quiet, okay? Mecca is the person that led me to the Lord. God used her to lead me to the Lord. I know Jesus. I am who I am today because God used her, you know, to give me the gospel, you know, and that's something that I'm indebted to her with, you know. So even though I appreciate, you know, her saying those kind words towards me. But, you know, I trusted you because you brought, you allowed God to use you to bring me this far, you know. And I know our relationship was bigger than just music, you know, but it was a covenant blood relationship, you know. And oftentimes, and I'll say this to the listeners, you have to, it's so important that in anything that you want to do, any dream, any vision, you have to work with people. You could go, but so far by yourself. And oftentimes we have uncomfortable trusting people for various reasons, but you can't do, you could go, but so far on your own, you have to trust somebody, you know, and your prayer should always be, God, send me the right people. Even though I have this vision, God, who's going to help me run? Who's going to help me run this thing? You know, who's going to help me run this thing? You know, who's going to align themselves to that I can learn from? Who can I benefit from? Who can this benefit? You know, we have to think that, listen, Jesus rode with 12. So who are we to think that we can do this on our own? Come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, who are we? You ain't that special that you don't need nobody. No, that's what hurt people say. That's what hurt people say as an excuse to not. Yeah, that's it. You're just hurt. You know, that's why you don't want to work with nobody. That's why you don't trust nobody, because you've been hurt before. Now, I'm not saying that to be insensitive to the fact that we all have gone through heartbreak and pain. I know. You know, that's another interview. When we talk about the church hurt, give me a call. You know, I could talk about that. But we all need people to help us along the way. None of us got in this earth by ourselves. No, you need your mama and your daddy. You know? So you can't think that we can just go about and execute whatever vision, plan all by themselves. There's nobody that got where they at by themselves. Nobody. You go down the list. Anybody that was great, look at the person behind them. You can go ahead and idolize any great pastor. Guess what? Look at their wives. Their wives are the reason why they're there. Their staff is the reason why they're there. Their business partners are the reason why they are. Their lawyers, their business managers, these are the people who, come on, there would be no Jay-Z without Dame Dash. I don't care how good Jay-Z is.
That's what I was thinking of.
You know, ain't no Dame Dash. It's not going to happen.
Ain't no
Def Jam. Ain't no Russell Simmons without Def Jam. And ain't no Russell Simmons without Rick Rubin. You know, without Russell Simmons,
ain't no Puffy without Biggie.
Come on, like, you know, we can go on for days with these examples. Nobody does it by themselves. Even Jesus needs Mary. Right. Come on, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, we all need somebody to get us to where we need to be. You know, point blank, period. So I just want to challenge the listeners to really allow God to send the right people along your path to see through your vision, your goals.
Keyword,
people. Accomplish that. Make it happen.
Wow. And you know something, Rich? He trusted every no, too. Every single time I said no about something. See, this stuff is really coming back. And I know, you know, I tell you a lot of things, and, you know, that sibling bond is really, really big. But one thing that I can say is that if somebody's managing you and you have to challenge their no's, there might just be a problem, and you have to think about that. I could tell Rich no about a venue, a place, a person, and he never questioned me. I tell him to answer why when I felt like it. You know, not to be funny, but sometimes it was like, nope. Wow.
He trusted you. He couldn't do that for somebody that he didn't trust.
They wouldn't even had the opportunity. I wouldn't even put the yes or no in their hands anyway if I didn't trust him. I would have said, you come to me, let me know so I can determine what it is, what I feel like.
And it's crazy because people have tried to go around me because, you know, I'm a female. People have tried to go around me and do little things, and he'd be like, oh, no, that's my, you go to her. You know, so I'm just thinking of so many different things, Rich, that I definitely can say that I am thankful for. And even though I'm always there personally in terms of management, but business-wise, that's, you know, long gone or whatever. But awesome to know, because sometimes even in families, things like this, business, can cause big collisions, and we never had that, and I know that we never will, you know. So it's just an extra blessing as we sit here and talk, and I think back on things and just reminisce certain things. It's just awesome, and I don't think I could have had a better experience with anybody else to do this, you know.
And
so it's just
that also further concerns how it was a God thing. It was a God thing, you know. This is how God do what He do, you know.
Mhm. Absolutely. Wow.
Well, Rich, I want you to tell our listeners where they can download your music.
Listen,
I want to hear some of them old songs you was talking about.
It's all out there. It's all out there, man. Everybody, you guys could definitely look everything up. Yeah, you guys can find me on all major digital outlets, from Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, Tidal. You know, it's Apple Music. It's all there. You know, it's just look up Richard Dawson. As long as you can spell my name right, I'm in there. Last name is D-A-U-T-H-I-N. You guys can hit me up on Instagram, Facebook, Richard Dawson. You know, it's the same hashtag. Then in the upcoming year, I'm excited. I have a lot more music coming out. You know, I'm working on a docu-series, you know, just really documenting the journey, which Mecca is going to definitely play a prominent role in. Wink, wink.
We got so much video footage, it's ridiculous. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we got some things, you know, and you, matter of fact, I'm going to drop this exclusive. I'm going to, in 2018, even though I know the team that I'm working with now probably might get me in trouble. Shout out to the Enaxis group, you know, for dropping this. But matter of fact, I'm just going to say, in 2018, be on the lookout for multiple EPs. Be on the lookout for mixtape. You know, so there's going to be a whole bunch of content coming out from me this year, next year. This coming year, it's going to be special to me, So definitely stay connected.
There's
going to be tons of videos, tons of performances. I'm preparing for the tour. I'm preparing for tours, more music videos. I'm just planning on giving people more, you know, so I'm excited about that. And the reason
and
why I'm
planning on coming back
more,
to the VIP.
Of course. Y'all gonna hear everything first, you know. And let me say this. The reason why I'm able to do more is because I have a team around me that enables me to spread my wings and give me wise counsel on certain things, you know, so they are the provision for the vision that God gave me, you know, so that's why I just want to, again, just can't stress enough the importance of having a team, having the right people in your corner that are willing to take what you have and multiply it and then send it to where it needs to go. So there you have it. Hit me up, www.richarddawson.com.
And that's D-A-U-P-H-I-N, not D-O-L-P-H-I-N.
D-A-U, yeah.
P-H-I-N, Richard Dawson. This has been a pleasure. Definitely reminiscing on a whole lot of things. Of course, you know, you definitely family. So you definitely are welcome. We just want to wish you a whole lot more success, right? You know, and you know, we looking for not to say that we looking for you to do the same as the likes of the Lecraes. And I have to give Lecrae a shout out. I have to. Not that I know Lecrae personally, but I definitely got to big him up because I feel like the direction that God used to take Lecrae in is giving other people who do what you do a lot of hope, because a lot of times it's not easy, because it's not always accepted, the kind of music that you guys do. So definitely thank God for what he's doing in Lecrae, and I know that I can look forward to him doing the same or maybe even exceeding what he's doing with Lecrae with others just like you. So big up to God for that one.
No. That's the truth right there.
So that's right. So y'all heard it first. Y'all know where to get his stuff. Check out Good Vibes Only. That's the new single, right, Rich?
Yeah, Good Vibes Only. It's out right now. Check that out on all digital outlets, iTunes, everywhere.
All right. Well, if
have
you don't
shot
have
the
anything
video for
else,
yet? Have you shot
Excuse
the
me?
Video for Good Vibes? Have you shot the video
got
for
something.
Good Vibes?
Yeah, videos get some definitely cooking up, trying to get it right to the standard where they need to go. I got a new single getting ready to drop sometime in January, so we're not playing. Like it's just nonstop. Like every
not a
month,
game.
Something's gonna be out. So it's gonna be a relentless, you know, towards releasing content and product. Cause you know I've been quiet for a little while now. So now I'm just like, okay,
that's
time to improve. So let's get it. I'm ready to eat this year.
I'm ready for some food this year. Might even have a little red on the bottom. But anyway, I want to shout out real quick because you didn't know who's listening live. Your niece is on live. So Shavaka is listening on Facebook Live. And we definitely have to shout out Missionary Terry Usri, Sister Aunt Terry. Got to shout her out because she was definitely a big supporter. She's listening live. Esther Saunders, which is my cousin, which is really not Esther Saunders, but that's a whole other story. Jason CEO
Smith,
my high school bestie, author Tamara Brown, Kevin McKinney, Sophia Dudley. Definitely want to shout all of you guys out. If you did not hear the whole thing, please go back and listen to it because I'm telling you, you missed a very, very good interview if you just tuned in. And Rich, I shared it with
shout
you so you can share it as well.
Definitely. Shout out to Eve listening in. You know, I got that text saying that she was definitely enjoying
Evie
the video.
Girl.
So shout out to you.
Shout out to Evie. Hey. So, yeah, man. If that's all, because, you know, we could go on forever, but we're just not going to do that. We're going to have a part two. I want to say from the VIP, from Unique and I, early. Well, not that many. Early, we're a few days away
Happy
from the new year. Happy New Year, everybody.
Awesome.
Please
Happy
leave
year.
Your
Happy
unwanted
year.
Luggage in 2017. You do not need it. It is only going to weigh you down. Please let it go. However, whatever you need
Back
to do,
up.
Let it go in a positive way. Pray it out. Meditate, whatever it is that you do. Have a happy, blessed New Year. Don't wait 365 days to make your next resolution. Start working on it from day one and keep it going. Sis, you got
Amen.
Anything?
Okay. One last question, Rich, because, you know, we covered.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Come on.
You talked about Nas.
It's cool.
You talked about, you know, Eminem. You talked about Pop.
Yeah.
So who
yeah.
would you say today is continuing that positive legacy?
Oh, I think today you have and you know, even with all the junk that's out there, there are artists, there's a new wave, a new movement, a new brand of artists that are very intentional on bringing forth that consciousness and being intentional about being real to themselves. You know, one of those artists is Kendrick Lamar, you know, who is as he has those elements with his songs, like, you know, when he talks about I love myself, you know, he has a song that it's gonna be all right. He has a song called Black at the Berry where he talks about, you know, how black people in America have been stigmatized and stereotyped, and really like relishing those stereotypes in the acts of being proud. You know, you have artists like J. Cole, who I've seen, you know, in plenty of different rallies and contain songs that are about, you know, empowering us as a people. You know, you have artists like Chance the Rapper, you know, who's really, there's
yeah,
nobody like
on
Chance. Chance is in his own realm creating as an artist, and he's positive, you know, and I think he's an artist that I wouldn't mind the kids that I work with to listen to. You know, so I'm definitely grateful for the artists that are coming out, that are really going left. And, you know, between Kendrick and J. Cole, they are like two of the most popular rappers that are out and well respected for their lyrics, you know, and their attempts at being positive, you know. So I appreciate them. Not that I agree with everything that they say, you know, because I have a certain core values and beliefs due to my faith, but I respect their efforts towards being positive and shedding a positive light, you know, to the listeners out there, because it's needed. There's not enough positivity in the marketplace, period. So anything that we do have should be celebrated for what it is.
Love it. I definitely love it, Rich. And I love the fact that even though you're a minister, that you can still, you know, relate to, you know, because you know how some spiritual people, they shun, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you have a balance. Like, I'm listening to my Christian hip hop brethren. I'm listening to my bro Saga, who's I'm in a video shoot right now as we're speaking. You know, supporting them. You know, but at being a student of the game, a student of entertainment, student of the arts and the world that I'm in, you have to know what's going. I believe that it's important that you know what's going on, who's who, from producers to the artists to managers. So that you know and are aware of the realm in which God is bringing you, you know, because I think it's important that we are aware and that we not be ignorant, you know, of what's out there. I need to know how to be what, when, to whom, you know, so all those factors, you know. There's a scripture, and I'm not to get all preachy and anything, but there's a scripture in the Bible where the Apostle Paul, you know, where he says, listen, I have to be all things to all men so that I might win.
I knew that was coming.
You know, to the Greek, I got to be Greek. To the Jew, I got to be Jew. To hip-hop, I got to be hip-hop. You know, to the hood, I have to be hood in order to relate so that I could be able to win them over. You know, so it's important that we are able to relate and to adapt in order to reach an impact. So it's all about being relevant.
Absolutely. Wow. I just wanted to
thank you so much.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of like, because I know a few people didn't get a chance to hear Good Vibes Only. I don't think nobody heard Good Vibes Only because I don't think I was live at the time. But I just want to do the first verse at least, and then we can go to our outro if you don't have anything else. Rich, is there anything you would like to end off with, or are you good?
Me and I just want to, I think this the interview, I think I said enough. You know, y'all got some good stuff here, you know, but I just want to just encourage everybody in the new year, man, to just, you know, step out and just step out and not step out past your fear, you know, step out in faith and move past your fears. You know, I pray that, you know, everybody here, even through this interview, if you don't know that you would be challenged, you know, to know about this God that I'm rapping about, this God that, you know, Mecca and Unique are talking about, you know, even though it's all of, we talked about entertainment and music and everything, but you could definitely hear, you know, there's an underlying tone and an underlying theme, which is comes from everybody on this line that's talking right now. They have a relationship with God. You know, I'm not talking religion. I don't believe in being religious. I don't believe in religion, you know, because what I have and what I'm talking about is something that's real and it's authentic and it's tangible, and that it's the reason why I do what I do, you know. So I just want to be able to share that to the people. And by all means, if anyone's curious about what is that mean or what that relationship means, by all means, you can definitely contact Mecca and Unique or contact myself on social media so we can build and chop it up even more. I want a big shout out, send a big shout out to my church, Life Changes Church and Ministries in Manhattan, you know, right there on Lexington Ave and 101st Street in Harlem. You know, that's where I'm the elder, and I also serve as the youth pastor over there. Shout out to my pastor, Bishop Joseph Harris, First Lady Harris. I mean, I think I'm a byproduct of a great church. I'm a byproduct of good teaching, a great nurturing environment. And, I mean, the whole family structure has definitely played a major role in my personal, spiritual, and professional formation. So shout out to my church.
Amen.
Yeah.
Rich Flair.
Why they mad?
Yeah.
Why they mad? Cause you striving for success. Hey yo, why they don't wanna see you blessed? Listen, I don't see the point in all I hate for. It's all good, I'm determined to be grateful. Cause you're the ones hating me, the same ones. Can't bang with everybody but your day ones. The ones that was there from the beginning. The ones that really want to see you winning. I don't know, man, who they think they fooling. They ain't got no type of blueprint, but try to knock what you doing. I don't even react, man, I'm just gonna sit back and let go. Just deal with it and I'ma leave it at that fact. And that's simply just how I'm living. I'm trying to follow the vision to precision, cause it was written. Listen, certain things I choose not to entertain. I'm just gonna stay in my lane. Wait while passing by, cause I'm good.
It don't even matter what they try to pull, cause yeah, you gotta be true to you. I'm on good vibes only.
Yeah, yeah.
Good vibes only. I'm on good vibes only.
Yeah.
Good vibes only. Yeah. You ever come down, so determined, I won't carry my crown. I'm on good vibes only.
Yeah. Good vibes only.
I'm on good vibes,
yeah,
only.
Yeah.
Thank you for spending time on the VIP with Unique Emeka. You can find us here every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. for the VIP experience. Bring a friend or look us up on Instagram and Facebook under Unique Emeka, spelled YOUNEIKMEKHA. Or on Twitter under VIP.UniqueMeka. And if you don't believe anything else, please believe that you are a VIP through trial and triumph. Thanks again for joining us.